All right, good morning on this overcast day. Let's open to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." All right, let's pray this morning. Lord, I just want to rejoice in you. Lord, we ask for your peace that transcends all understanding, comprehension, logic, Father, to fill our hearts and minds this morning. God, we come into your house to meet with you, and Father, we pray that that you would just begin to reveal yourself to us today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Many of you know all going on in the news, the hurricane or the tropical storm, Sandy, is destroying a lot of the east coast of the United States right now. New York, Manhattan is underwater and in darkness. The stock exchange is closed for two consecutive days. It hasn't done that since 1888 due to weather. And the death count is about 33 right now and climbing. And so in the backdrop of what's going on, I was thinking, how does this passage apply to those in that area? Are you able to say to someone struggling in that hurricane and destruction and flooding, hey, guys, rejoice. Hey, you know, it's all good. It's going to be okay. You know, don't worry about it. If we were to be real for a second, I think that would be a difficult thing to do. And, you know, trying to minister to maybe somebody in that area, you know, just, you know, praying for peace over them and talking to them about peace. You know, and trying to use Philippians 4:7 on them. And I wonder if that's would ever work. If you want to have peace in your life, it would be good to look at the Galatians 5:22 passage where we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, where it says love, joy, peace. If the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. And if you want to do that, you're going to have to look at that in the context of sort of the contrast of how it talks about freedom and slavery, law and grace, walking in the Spirit and walking in what Paul calls the sinful nature. And that's the key to receiving this peace that surpasses all comprehension. It's being and understanding that there is a contrast between walking in the Spirit and walking in what Paul says is our sinful nature. He says that if we walk in our sinful nature, then we're going to produce the fruits of our sinful nature, right? Things like sexual immorality, impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy. And he goes on to say in verse 21, right before the fruits of the Spirit, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so now we have to sort of examine ourselves and see if are we walking in the Spirit or are we walking in our flesh? Because when you're going through difficult times, I think we're quick to operate in our flesh and to worry and be anxious and these things. And Paul, he's saying, look, rejoice in the Lord always. And he's not saying this because he just finished coming from a party, you know, singing karaoke, having some drinks. He's not, you know, he's not enjoying himself. He's not in a fellowship. He's not at house church. He's actually in prison, and he's been shipwrecked, and he's been beaten, and he's been stoned, and he's been going through all of these things. And there's something powerful because I believe that he's walking in the Spirit, and he sees what the Spirit sees. And what the Spirit sees is that there's a bigger plan and a bigger purpose for the imprisonment and the suffering that he's going through. See, what we have to understand is that it is accomplished and it is already finished in heaven. And as we live our life here on earth, we're just trying to catch up to what is already done in heaven. We're just trying to catch up. And so when we know what the finished result is, we can rejoice. And he says that constantly. He says it constantly. Well, what happens if we, even though we know this in our head? Well, what's happening is that the enemy has a strategy against us to take and rob our peace away from us. It all started in the Garden of Eden. If you remember back in the garden, that the Bible talks about how we need to have peace with God, peace from within, peace with others. But that peace was stolen and robbed in the Garden of Eden. Right, when God created Adam and Eve, there was perfect harmony and perfect peace and perfect unity, and they enjoyed everything in the garden. Everything was great. It was the perfect place. They had total freedom. They were walking around naked. You know, there was no problem with that. They felt no shame. There's no baggage from the past. There was no depression, nothing like that. God blessed them. They were fruitful. They increased in number. They filled the earth, all of these things. And you know, they enjoyed perfect peace. And then comes the serpent. Then comes the enemy. And this is, he's one of the most crafty animals of all the animal kingdom. And he says, he comes to Adam and Eve and he says this, did God really say that? In other words, is what God's saying and is his consequences really going to happen? And so he began to cast doubt in the word of God. Remember, God says to Adam and Eve through his word, through his spoken word, he says, don't eat from that tree. He doesn't tell why, he just says, don't do it. And so what Satan does is he takes that and he takes it another level. We have a command of God to do something in his word, but then the enemy says, he comes and points out the consequences or the lack of consequences or what's going to happen afterwards. And so you get the word of God to do a command, you know, whatever it may be. And then the enemy is going to say, well, is that really going to happen? Is that really going to happen? You know, you should be generous to others because God has never seen the righteous go hungry. And then he comes and speaks to you and he says, is that really true? Is that really going to happen? And it begins to cast doubt. And so what he does is that he does that to us and that begins to rob our peace. Because the word of God is true. We believe it in our minds, but the enemy begins to come and he begins to cast doubt on that. And I don't know how many times where I've seen the word of God with my own eyes. I've memorized it in my heart. Yet it's hard to execute or it's hard to live out. It's hard to walk into the peace that God has for us. It's hard to walk into the truth that God has for us because the enemy comes and he says, well, is that really going to happen? I mean, come on, seriously, think about it. And he begins to take our eyes and our vision and takes it off of God's kingdom, and he begins to cast it on earthly kingdom. And so we begin to be robbed of that peace. Remember, you know, the difference between slavery and freedom. I think a good definition of peace, if I can find it here, is being in right relationship with God. We try to find peace in so many different ways, right? We try to do breathing exercises, calm down, you know, find some peace, calm down. You know, we try to read books about the subject of the issue that we're struggling with. You know, if you're struggling with your weight loss and things like that, you know, you read about stuff and you try to find peace. Or if you're struggling with something, you try to find, you know, blogs that talk about it. And there's many different ways of how we try to find peace. You know, we try to talk to different friends and try to find comfort in them, and that's very helpful, of course. But I think the best definition of trying to find peace is to be in right relationship with God. Peace means being in right relationship with God. Peace means being in right relationship with one another. Peace means being all right within. Peace means, you know, just being in right relationship. When you're in conflict with somebody, right, you know, how much peace do you have? You know, you may have gotten into a conflict or argument, and the next time you see them, you know, you actually have a physical reaction or you have an emotional reaction, and it's difficult to talk to them because you don't have peace. There's no peace. It's because you're not in right relationship with that person. And the same is true within us. When we struggle, when we're stressed, when we have difficulties, it's not because the circumstances are easy. Of course, it's legitimately difficult and stressful. But Paul's situation was just that, and he was able to say, rejoice, because I can find peace in my life that transcends this hurricane, this transcends this storm, that transcends the difficulties of my life. I can understand because I'm not walking in my flesh, but I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm walking in right relationship with God. And so I want to sort of encourage you this morning is that if you're struggling with finding peace, to come and be in right relationship with God. There's this sort of tacky bumper sticker that says, no Jesus, no peace, and then no Jesus, no peace. You know, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace, and then no K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. You understand. It's a cheesy bumper sticker, but I think it's scripturally very accurate, right? If you, Paul, who knew Christ in a real, powerful, personal way, was able to find peace. Several years ago, there's this news article about a submarine that had to be tested, and so it had to remain submerged underwater for many, many hours. And when it returned back to the base, the authorities on land said, please, Captain, can you tell us how the storm affected you last night? And the captain looked at home base kind of surprised and exclaimed, storm? We didn't even know there was a storm. The reason was because the submarine had reached a depths of the ocean so deep that it had reached an area known to sailors as the cushion of the sea, that no matter how fierce the storm and the waves would hit the surface of the ocean, the waters where the submarine was located was never disturbed. And I think that gives us a great illustration of how we need to be in Christ, in the depths of his heart, in the depth of his presence, that we deeply submerge ourselves in the things of God and be in right relationship with him, that no matter how difficult the storms are, no matter how powerful the hurricane might be, that we are so submerged in God that we don't even know that there's a storm going on. I'm sure you've seen many people who are on the solid rock of Jesus and they're going through some difficult things, but it doesn't seem to affect them because they can testify that they're so submerged in God that they see heavenward and they say, look, I don't even know what's going on, but all I know is on the solid rock of Christ I stand. If there are storms in your life and a peace that you cannot obtain, it's easy to try to find it in other things, but the scripture is very clear to find it in Christ. And my prayer this morning and as our devotion is that you would find peace this morning. Peace in the midst of sort of the rain that is happening outside, peace in your workplace, peace in your relationships, but also peace with God. Let's bow our heads this morning. In the real world, this is a difficult thing to experience. But there are many of us in this room that have experienced that in some way, where nothing around you made any sense, but you could rejoice and have peace. That no matter what the results were, no matter what happened externally, that you know God is in control. That he is bigger, that he is stronger, that he is greater, that his love is wider, and that he is deeper than any storm that you could face in your life. Because you feel the confidence that you are in the palm of his hands, and that he surrounds you with grace. May you receive that this morning as we seek his face. I want you to just begin to ask the Lord, God, I want you. And as you do that, you don't need to ask for his peace because his peace will be there. His love will be there. His grace will be there. His mercy will be there. Lord, we just ask for your presence here. Lord, we pray for your peace in the midst of the storm. God, I'm reminded of how the disciples were in the boat while a storm was going. And Father, you were not nervous. You were not scared. In fact, you had the power to calm the storm. And we call that forth now. We want to be in that boat where you are. Because we believe that you can call forth the storm to be still. And even if not, we are still with you. We are still with you.
Thank you.
Know what the Lord is doing in all parts of the world as tragedies happen and storms come, but I know that now is the time where we urgently need to pray and seek. I believe God is doing powerful things, and there's things happening in our world, and so our prayers are really urgent in manner. And so let's lift up our community. Time is short in regards to our lives, and so as they're struggling with cancer, let's begin to pray, God, heal them. Have mercy. Give them another chance. And so let's pray for those struggling with cancer and going through chemotherapy. Let's lift them up right now. Who are ill but also need salvation, and so let's lift them up right now and ask God to truly speak His word in their lives. So let's pray. Lift up those also struggling with different illnesses and infirmities, and so let's ask the Lord to reveal Himself through them. So let's pray. Thank you. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment, and ask the Lord to provide and give them, those who are waiting, peace, knowing that the Lord has something planned for them. So let's pray for them. Before we move on to Mission Focus, I want to pray for two families specifically. We have sad news for Eshin and Shane. Her mother passed away last night with struggle with cancer, and they're in Korea right now and taking care of different funeral arrangements. So if you could lift up Eshin and Shane, and you can understand how devastated they would be right now. And so let's ask for peace to come upon them, and let's pray for their family. Right now, let's lift them up in prayer. Also, if we could pray for Stanley and Sarah. Stanley's father passed away a few days ago on Sunday morning, I believe. And so Pastor Sam is flying to Singapore for the funeral tonight. And so if we could lift up Stanley and just ask God to surround him with comfort. And may we be the community that can extend love to both Eshin and Stanley. And so let's pray for Stanley and his family right now. We just pray that you would bring your comfort and your peace, God, to Stanley and Eshin. Lord, we pray that as difficult as this is, God, that they may see that you have a reason and purpose, God. And Lord, we just pray that we would be the community that could surround him with love. God, that they would know that you are with them, and that you are with them at all times, God, even during this tragedy, Father, and this difficulty. And Father, we just pray that that they would find hope and comfort in your word, Lord. And we just pray that you would just shower them with grace and mercy, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's begin to lift up our mission focus this morning, and let's pray for Cambodia, for Pastor O, for New Life, for Pastor Tang, for COP Orphanage, for Grace and Bloom. Let's lift up the Philippines and the health clinic that we supported, and let's lift up Bhutan. And so let's ask God to open up that country to the gospel, those countries to the gospel, and even greater work there. So let's lift them up right now. Thank you. Let's pray for SP Ministries, for the IP team. Ask the Lord to truly guide them and use them. Let's pray for Cascade and the Well Ministry. Let's ask God to truly release an anointing upon them. And so let's lift up the leaders. Let's lift up the teams and ask God to bless them and use them. Fine, let's lift up our house churches meeting today, Causeway Bay, Kennedy, Robinson West, Shotton. Let's ask that as they talk about the poor, as they talk about Sunday's service, let's ask the Lord to truly speak to them in greater ways, that there be a greater fellowship with one another and with the Lord. So let's lift up our house churches today. Father, everywhere in this world needs your peace. Everywhere in this world needs you. And God, we just ask and invite you to come. And Father, as we go to work, as we run our errands, Lord, we just pray that we would see you in the eyes of the people around us. God, we pray that the people that you're close to, the brokenhearted, the poor, Lord, we pray that we would hold them dearly in our hearts also, God. Lord, so reveal yourself to us, God, as we seek your face. We invite your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I encourage you to stay and seek his face and pray, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.